It's lovely, if slightly daunting, to see so many people here on this very auspicious day. So before I talk about what going forth means for and to me, I thought I'd give you a little bit of background about myself. I've been married for 40 years, over 40 years. I have 3 children, I have 4 grandchildren. All my adult life I have worked in a variety of jobs, and I'm recently retired, but I volunteer for several charities. So you could say that I'm well embedded in a very conventional life. As far as my Dharma life is concerned, I arrived at the Buddhist Centre in January 2009 in recovery from work-related emotional and mental stress. I'd originally come for meditation, but was also intrigued by Buddhism. So I did the introductory and follow-on courses, and I became a Mitra on Buddha Day in 2010, and I asked for ordination in 2015. And I didn't know it then, but I'd already started the process of going forth. So as we know, the future Buddha had left the palace. He'd seen the 4 sights: the old man, the sick person, the dead person, and a monk who appeared calm and happy. He was awakened to the realities of human suffering and made a conscious decision to leave behind worldly attachment and to try and understand and alleviate that suffering. And this was known, as we know, as the Great Going Forth. So what do I think of when we talk about going forth? Well, the obvious answer is leaving or going away, which is accurate, but perhaps limited in its context. For me, another way of looking at it is renunciation. I looked up the dictionary definition of renunciation, which is the act of renouncing, sacrificing, giving up, or surrendering, which all sounds very harsh. Are we expected to do the same as Siddhartha Gautama and leave behind our comfortable lives, become homeless, lead an ascetic life in the search for freedom from suffering? Perhaps a more helpful way of looking at it, I think, is letting go of unhelpful, unskillful actions, pleasures and desires, and cultivating a mental state of non-attachment to those things. So in this modern world, I think we can still go forth, but focus on the core meaning of the practice. For me, it isn't about abandoning family and friends or home, but loosening attachment to material things, sensory pleasures, and destructive emotions like anger and attachment to self. It's about cultivating a mindset that allows one to see the impermanence of things and understand that clinging to them only leads to suffering. And something else I've learned is that there is no easy, quick fix. It's a gradual process of cultivating wisdom and letting go. I think it was Kurunadi who talked recently about the gravitational force of the conditioned pulling us back into conditioned security, going back to what we know and are comfortable with. I know from experience that this is true. Someone said to me years ago that renunciation is not about diminishing our life, but enhancing it by developing qualities of wisdom, compassion, and equanimity. So far from being a hard, cold removal of everything that you thought you absolutely needed and had to have in order to be happy, it's actually a positive movement towards something ultimately more fulfilling. And I think that's a point worth repeating. Rather than just seeing it as giving up, sacrificing, depriving ourselves of possessions, friends, way of life, going forth is going to something. And in this case, it's the 3 jewels: the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Going for refuge to the 3 jewels is at the centre of my personal mandala, and the way I try to live my life reflects that heart wish. So I said earlier on that at the time of becoming a Mitra, I'd already started the process of going forth. And what did I mean by that? So starting with the intro course, I learned about the kleshas, the source of our suffering, and the precepts, the training principles that underpin our spiritual practice. I could see that the life I was leading and my mental states were all contributing to the negative situation I find myself in. I started changing things in my life. Small things at first, such as acts of kindness or generosity towards others and myself. I established a regular meditation practice, which has been beneficial throughout my life. And I started becoming more authentic in my communications. Partly through genetics and partly through conditioning, I have a tendency to be a people pleaser, doing things that others want or expect, rather than what I would prefer to do or that I know to be more skillful. But each time I spoke up or took a different option, not rising to the bait when I saw or heard potentially emotionally destabilizing things, I felt the positive impact on me. So as my practice has deepened, I've noticed other things falling away. Some have happened consciously, others in a more natural, perhaps more organic way. So how has my going forth manifested? Well, at the most basic level, I've given up eating meat, which was a difficult habit to change initially, but intellectually it was a no-brainer. While I didn't have an obsessive interest in social media, I was aware of how easy it would be to become a problem, especially as my family and friends used it. So I ration my use and feel that my sense of overwhelm has diminished. I'm naturally thrifty, but even so I realised that over time I'd surrounded myself with things I persuaded myself I needed. Too many books, too much fabric I bought because it looked lovely, and it might come in useful one day. Enough knitting wool to stock a shop, you get the idea. Anyway, while they weren't issues in themselves, they were symptomatic of a lack of awareness. So the bulk of it was packed up and either given away or sold and the proceeds given to charity. The clearer spaces on the shelves have made for a calmer living environment. The balance between family and friends on the one hand and my deepening practice on the other has been the most challenging aspect so far. Previously, I'd planned to go on a retreat or come to an event at the centre. Then I'd be invited to a family event or to go out with a friend. And without too much thought, I'd change my plans and do the family thing instead. I should say that I didn't feel comfortable doing that, but the pull of the conditioned was strong. So that has now changed. I prioritise going on retreat and centre activities as far as possible. And family and friends understand and accept the importance of these things to me. I haven't stopped seeing them, just been open and honest about the part these things play in my practice and made alternative arrangements that work better for me. Having said that, though, some friendships have fallen by the wayside, as I've realised that their way of life and their personal philosophy no longer accords with mine. Initially, seeing this was painful, as was letting that friendship go, but ultimately it has been freeing. So these are examples of giving up, moving away from the traps of my previous way of being. But as I said before, the other side of this is what I'm moving towards, a deeper attachment to and a love for the three jewels. So how has this manifested and what has helped me with this? Being part of a Sangha, having good friends in that community, including Kalyana Mitra, critical friends, who could help me develop awareness and sensitivity. This has been very beneficial to me as I often trip up. They help me get back on my feet and start again. My GFR group, my Going for Refuge group, has also been a source of support and encouragement. Regularly taking stock, by which I mean going on solitary retreats, this time alone, without distraction, has enabled me to look deeply at patterns of behaviour and their underlying causes. Looking clearly at my previous responses to events and situations hasn't always, or even often, been a pleasant experience. But it offers the chance to develop that awareness and sensitivity I was talking about earlier, and it's still ongoing. Taking pleasure in just being, not striving for anything, just revelling in the pleasure of reading, sitting in the sun, listening to birdsong. Stillness, simplicity and contentment have been hard won for me. Those who know me well know that the task has been the driver of my actions for much of my life. Time enough to relax and look after my physical, mental and emotional needs when the job has been completed. I've belatedly come to know that, as good friends have told me, you can't pour from an empty vessel. and being part of study groups and sharing experiences with others on the same path has reinforced my wish to go for refuge to the Three Jewels. Being with others, sharing our challenges, and witnessing each other's progress is both energizing and inspiring. So, to conclude, I've been on this path for 16 years. I started going forth, renouncing those things that created blocks and encouraging those things that support my practice soon after joining the Sangha, and it's still continuing today. I can say that while I haven't made the dramatic gesture that the future Buddha made on experiencing the four sights, in my own way I'm attempting to emulate his actions, understanding the causes of suffering, my own and others, and find a path to lead from that suffering. It's a lifetime project, but one I will continue to pursue because I've already seen and felt the positive effects. Why would I not? Okay, thank you.